This morning, I'd just like to bring what I believe a message that is going to do you a whole lot of good from God's Word, because God's Word does us a lot of good. And we turn to 3 John chapter 2. 3 John chapter 2, read the Word of God together. And if I was to give this message a title, I would give it this title: A Prosperous Soul. A prosperous soul. What a great thought for us to have. A prosperous soul. And I'll just unpack that in a minute. But we'll just read the Word of God. Beloved, it starts with in verse 2. And I already think that's great, because we are the loved of the Lord. And so the way that God begins this wonderful verse is beloved. And I think already before you start to think about doing well in every part of your life, particularly in your soul, I think it's important that you know it's all flowing out of God's heart of love for you. Is that wonderful? It's just coming straight out of God's heart for you, beloved. And how this wonderful apostle of Jesus Christ, it's his heart for the church of Jesus Christ. And he is one with God, he's one heart and mind with God, because it's the word of God, in saying, I'm praying for you. Beloved, I pray that you will prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. Beloved, I pray. Now this, obviously, if it's written in the Word, it is the will of God for you. That you prosper, that you do well in life, that you succeed, that you are fully healthy in every dimension of life, your spirit, your soul, and your body, and in your purpose and destiny, the things that God has planned for you, that you will prosper in the call of God on your life. And so there is this, you can feel the motivation behind these words is love. And of course, if you're a father or a mother, you've got kids, your motivation is, I want my kids to prosper and be in health. That their soul, now, just let me unpack, just in case you don't understand what the Bible means about your soul. We are all made in the image of God. And we're created to be like God, in his likeness. And God himself is spirit. And so the most important part of your life is your spirit. And before you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are dead in sins, because you are a sinner. You can't actually have life inside, the life of God, until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. But when you do, your spirit becomes alive. God gives you a new heart. He gives you a new spirit, a clean heart, and he puts his spirit in you. And so you are spirit, and your spirit is alive to God. It's not dead anymore if you have Jesus Christ living in you, if you've accepted him. And that's important, that you don't go through a religious format. You need to acknowledge him as your Savior, the one who died for your sins. The one who actually loved you so much that he sacrificed everything to find and offer you life and give you life. And so if you personally have accepted, or maybe today, if you accept Jesus Christ and surrender your life to him and give your heart, your whole being over to him, he says, I'll give you life. Life in all its fullness, the best quality of life. But I will also put divine life, the life of my spirit, in your spirit. And so if you're a Christian today, you've got divine life in your spirit. Whoopee! Hallelujah! It's wonderful news. But we also have a soul. And each single person here in this room or listening on the podcast, we have a soul, and that consists of our mind, our will, our ability to choose and make decisions. You made a decision to be in the house of the Lord today. You chose. You had the power of choice. You did not have to be here. God didn't send his angels and marshal you into the building. He might have, if you're a bit of a sluggish believer currently, he might have got somebody who's your friend or your partner to say, get out of bed, we're going to church. You might have had some encouragement from someone who loves you enough to say, this is going to do you good. But you have a free will. You have choices to make. You chose what color you were going to put on today. Whether you were going to clean your teeth. We pray that you made the right choice. Because a bad breath believer can put people off. And you also have emotions. And our emotions can be easily influenced by our situations and our circumstances, if we allow them to be. But our emotions can move within an hour from extreme joy and happiness to angry, sad, offended, fed up, discouraged. Has anybody got emotions that have done that? Your emotions, your soul is your mind, your ability to think. God has given you free will to choose what you think about. You actually can take captive every thought and wrestle it to the ground. And say, absolutely not on my watch. You can take captive every thought, the word of God says, not some. You can actually take hold of every negative thought and say, absolutely not in my head. Out you go. So you have a mind that you can choose to think on good things or bad things. I believe you can think your way into dark places. Did you hear that? You just need to think negatively, think bad, accept the thoughts that the devil wants to put in your head, and you can think yourself into a very big mess. And after you've thought that, your emotions quickly follow your thinking, because that's how God has made us. Our soul then is key to us prospering. We can also make really, really, really bad choices. Can't we? I flicked on the TV the other day, and I quite like this Home and Away, you know, country, the property market thing, and Dream On. And this couple had bought a house because they thought they liked it, and they made a really, really, really bad choice with this property, which only goes to show you need the Lord as your shepherd, because he will lead you into good places and not into poverty. As long as you'll let him lead you. And they chose this property, which ended up being a place of absolute misery for them. They hated it. As soon as they moved in, they said, we didn't like the property. And it got sadder and sadder, because then they decided to sell. They got into negative equity, into debt. And they ended up, through a choice of theirs, being in debt. So your choices can lead you to an awful mess that can take some time to get out of. Some people have made completely the wrong choices of their life, but the good news is that Jesus can bring you back on track, because he is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you follow him and walk in truth, his truth, which is his word, then he will lead you on a good track to make good choices. But you are free, my beloved, to think what you want to think, to then feel accordingly, because normally that's what will happen to you, and to choose either your own way or the things that the devil offers you, which is usually connected to sin, a lifestyle of compromise, Or you can choose God's way, God's truth, which will make you extremely full of joy and happy all the days of your life. And so when John says, beloved, I pray that you will prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers, your future prosperity is linked to your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Which is why we need to take hold of our soul in a godly way. So that we can live a life of health and prosperity in our soul. We really do have an enemy who wants to rob our health mentally. Hello? Has anybody had a barrage from the enemy recently? Okay. And was that the lies, the undermining words, the thoughts that try and steal a sound mind, a good mind, and your mind begins to meditate on what's wrong with you, what's wrong with your life, what's wrong with everybody else around you, what's wrong with your circumstances, what's wrong eventually if you come to church in that mood, what's wrong with the pastor? And I ain't done nothing. But the enemy sows thoughts that makes you think I have. Or somebody you're with has. And those thoughts can actually dominate and rule your whole internal well-being. And God wants you well on the inside, not just in your body. We need a people with a healed soul, a prosperous soul. Jesus died for every part of us so that we might live in the fullness of life, spirit, soul, and body. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it a joy to think this is possible for you and me? To have a prosperous soul? Say, this is possible for me. I can live in a prosperous soul and have health in my mind and my emotions and my choices. When the enemy comes to rob your health, or can I say sometimes that people can try and steal it with their words, their actions. I just had a kind of a checkup at the doctor's. Absolutely nothing wrong with me. You'll be thrilled to hear. I'm sure you are thrilled. But in this checkup, there was a guy that came into the reception. Honestly, I just sat there and thought, bless him, because he was in foul mood. So angry, as soon as he spoke to the receptionist, he railed into them, blaming them for everything that was wrong with him, saying they were absolutely no good, they haven't booked an appointment, and I mean, really quite a nasty atmosphere. Came into the waiting room, and he kind of brought that cloud in. It didn't come on me, but it was sitting there. Just sitting in that. You know how people can be who are angry, have this. Just let them sit. Don't get under their cloud. Don't join the cloud. Just say, I'll come back when you're happier. Sort yourself. But actually, I knew it was demonic as well, but I just felt so sorry for the receptionist. And I went back in with the intention. I'd finished. The doctor said, brilliant, clean bill of health, absolutely no problems. Come back in to the receptionist. And I didn't have to go back in. And I waited in the queue, and I got there, and I said, I just want to tell you, you're brilliant. I think you're amazing. And I'm so sorry you had to endure that barrage today. Do you know you can change somebody's day by putting something positive in? And then the guy, actually, I thought he was waiting to, because there's a spiritual, he recognized me, he knew there was something about me. And he left the waiting room, got to the door of the surgery, and I thought, right, in the name of Jesus, I take authority, because I thought this guy could attack me, because it's happened before, because I'm a Christian. Brilliant. But I've learned to take authority before I come up against anybody else. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I rule over that evil spirit. You're not having me. And I walked past. And he looked at me. He said, quietly, timidly, which is, means it's a spirit. Don't I know you? I said, no, you don't. You don't. But God bless you. Have a good day. Just live in peace. And I left that surgery. Praise God, through the authority of the name of Jesus, you can change a surgery. Can't you? But people live in, and some of you might be working in situations where you're having a soul barrage from people around you that work with you. You might be in a point where there's a lot of pressure where you work. And what's important is that you maintain a healthy soul. Is that you don't actually sink along with where everybody else goes in their head and their emotions. And we begin to really learn how to rule our souls, rule our mind, our will, and our emotions so that we have a healthy, happy, prosperous life, which has an effect in showing up on your face. Now, I know you think that's a funny statement, but it actually changes your countenance. Have you ever met anybody who's down? But if you are able to use the tools that God gives us to change your soul, you can change down to up. And how are you? I'm into changing things that are down to bring them up. That's what the Lord does. He's the lifter of our heads. And there's no condemnation for those who get down, but it's time to get up. Hallelujah. So, I pray that you prosper and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So how do you and I have a healthy soul? How do we see God's health in our soul life, our mind, our emotions, and our will? Can you turn to Isaiah chapter 55? Isn't it great to hear the word of God preached to us today? To listen to the word. Praise God, and to get understanding of what the marvelous, wonderful things God's planned for us in Christ, how he wants us to live. And I do believe it's in our power individually to change our souls. Ah, I believe it's in your power. It's within your grasp. But you just don't need to grasp hold of yourself. You need to get hold of God. Because he's the one who changes everything, isn't he? Isaiah 55, come, you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy me? Not satisfy. Listen to me. And eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. These words, within these words here, the word of God, contained the medicine for a healthy soul. Now, we've got to take the medicine for it to do us good. You do not go to the doctors to get medicine and hear all about what good it'll do you and then don't take it. And sometimes I think as Christians, we just always expect God to do everything for us. Heal my soul. Still feel rubbish. Heal me, Lord. And God says, I want you to do certain things. Take this medicine, and there's going to be healing and restoration in your soul. Something's going to change. There's transforming power in the word of God. I don't believe when in Psalm 107 it says, he sent forth his word and healed them, just means your body. I believe we're healed spiritually when we hear the gospel of Jesus. We're restored, we're healed, we're brought back to life. But I also believe our soul gets healed through the Word of God. And if you feel absolutely chipper and abundant life today, let me tell you, don't just listen for you then, listen for somebody you can help. Because quite honestly, I'm quite chipper today. Because I've had my soul rehauled. And I feel really happy. But there was a day this week I didn't feel quite so happy. See, I get the same things you do, but I know what to do. So I want to teach you what works and what has the power to change your emotional well-being, your mental well-being, and your choices, your actually volitional well-being. So the Word of God tells us to come to Jesus, basically. Come to the Lord, you who are thirsty, you who have no money. Now, I love this because you do not need to bring something and pay for it. Because what Jesus has done has been given freely. Everything he did on the cross, he did it to give you everlasting life, eternal life. To give you an abundant life. And it's free, but it comes by grace, which is actually unearned favor, so you don't work for it, through faith. By grace, through faith, through trusting what he's saying. So come and drink freely. In other words, have as much as you like of God and his goodness. Take it in. Absorb it. Eat it. Come. You don't have the money. You can't pay for what Jesus has done. It's already done. 2,000 years ago, it's already done for you to have a healed soul. Oh, isn't that a revelation? It's already done. It just needs to be released. And you just need to eat it. Take it in. And drink it. On a regular basis, because your soul can get a battering in life. Through flesh or the devil, even your own flesh can wear your own soul out. So don't spend your money. Now, aren't people spending a lot of money trying to get a good experience and health and well-being in life? We're a generation which is running after the next experience or the next holiday. If I go to the Bahamas, I'm sure I'm going to be happier. That's what a lot of people think. And they go with their soul baggage. They take it to the Bahamas. Have a bit of sun and swimming. Come back from the Bahamas. Maybe their body's a bit rested, but their soul's the same. And so we don't have to go on holiday or to a health spa to get a healed soul. People are paying a fortune. They try the entertainment route, which is buy new media, games, movies, new experience. I know what I want to do. I've done that experience. I'll go for something even more challenging. And basically, they have a driven soul that's always looking for something and they're never satisfied. Come on, church. Jesus is more than enough. And he gives us a satisfied soul. In other words, you don't have just a little drip of life into your soul and then say, I'll wait another 5 years before I have another meal. He wants you living fully, your emotions full of joy, peace, love, knowing your love, the love of God transforming your soul. He wants you to drink of his love for you. So that you like leave a meal with the Word of God, who is Jesus. When Jesus has come to me, come to my Word. He is the Word, the living Word. Eat of my Word. Eat, drink of me. And everything about your soul will be changed. It's going to do us good, this. Some people, you know, when they're not satisfied, they paint their house. Let's have a new color on the wall. I'm sure the color's bothering me. I'm sure I need to change from mauve to pink. Or they go out and spend on new outfits, new stuff, new things. Spend, spend, spend. Surely my next car, my next house will make me happier. I want to tell you there's only one solution for a happy soul, and that's Jesus and his word. It's only one solution. And the thing is, that's why we need to take this message out to those that don't know Jesus. We need to be spreaders of good news that you can be actually happy because God is the happiness of your life. He brings you the joy that actually satisfies every part of you. And you don't have to spend a fortune in your soul clinic. This is my health spa. The Word of God. And it's free. You only have to make a little investment of buying a Bible. Brilliant. Some people have this kind of lean soul. And the Word of God actually says God allows his people to get lean. That's not lean and mean in a good sense. It's just kind of empty when they go their own way. And you'll find your soul will kind of squeeze up like a prune when you go your own way. It will. But when you go God's way, do what God wants with your life. Do what God wants in your home. Do what he wants in your relationships and serving the Lord. It'll be like a big plum, not a prune. Fully satisfied in God. Some people get a weary soul because of what happens in their life, their circumstances, and there are times and seasons in life where things happen, it's really difficult to cope with, and your soul takes a massive hit. But in those times, I want to tell you God is more than enough. I want to tell you, no matter whatever happens, he is enough to heal your soul and bring it back to fullness of life. Some people, the way they deal with their soul is they withdraw or go to ground. They become emotionless and just sort of reserved, controlled. And I don't believe God wants us like that. He wants us free emotionally, not shut down. And God is able to awaken again good emotions in people that have had terrible experiences and things that have happened to them in life. Some of you will know at Faith Camp, I ran two healing seminars. And I just thank God. There were quite a few testimonies of cancer healed from last year from the healing seminar. Phenomenal miracles. This time there was a lady there who had a dislocated shoulder. She came in. I wondered what was wrong with her because she looked at me like this. And I didn't know what it was. But her shoulder got back, clicked back. And the next night she was doing this. Look! I mean, God did some amazing miracles, some wonderful things. But you realize when you talk to people, the things that happen to them in their lives are so hard. Oh, I was just moved with compassion. But I actually believe God is enough and that the word is enough to heal any broken heart. The anointed word of God, the promises of God. And God wants his people whole. So no matter what the sickness, no matter what has happened emotionally, brokenheartedness, people that have rejected you, let you down, haven't come up with what they said they were going to do, Jesus is able to restore your soul back to health. And so I want to tell you today, if you are feeling like your soul is like weary, I want to say to you that the Lord is saying, come, drink, it's free. Eat what is good. Stop eating your own words. Stop telling everybody how bad everything is because you'll eat your words and it'll go down deeper. But if you eat his word and what he says about you, your soul will be satisfied. I will cause your soul to come back to life. And of course, that's the Zoe life, divine life, which is the best soul possible because it's God's emotions in our soul. And God's power, the Word of God is able to change negative mindsets and bring in the positive. But there is something that he says we've got to do, and that is to come and listen. Now, I know that you were expecting something more complicated. Because often we think, well, I've got to feel, I've got to fall over, I've got to get under somebody who's got a healing ministry. And Jesus says, get under my word, let my word heal you. Because the word of God is living, it's powerful, and is able to heal. And so as we sit, we listen. Now, the biggest issue I think you and I face is this listening thing. Because we know that we can come because Jesus has freely died for us to live the best, blessed life, a rich life. But many times we come in a hurry. I know people who say about their daily time with the Lord, if they have one, because sometimes I think if the truth were known, I think we'd all be a bit surprised as to who actually is diligent in spending time with Jesus in the Word. But for those who do, they say, oh, I've done my Bible reading. Now, sometimes, of course, they don't mean they've just read. You know, you've got all your kind of little aids. You've got your Every Day with Jesus or From Faith to Faith, which I love, the Copeland's Daily Word. But you know what? Sometimes I think we just read it and go, amen, and off we go. And we're not eating it. And you know, when you sit down for a meal, you've actually got to take time to take it in and swallow it. Not just brush it across your lips and say, whoa, that's the word of God done for today. Because I believe that the word of God needs to be taken in, eaten, drunk. And almost like, as Jeremiah says, when your words came, I ate them. I took them deep inside. I took them completely, wholly. I said, this word is going to do me the good that I need doing. And he said, when I ate it, it was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. In other words, God's word effectively changed Jeremiah's heart and emotions. Thank you, Lord. There'd be many a time, and this week would be included, where I've gone in to the only place I know when I've been hurt or when things have happened that haven't been nice to me. And my soul has taken a battering. I go to the only place I know. I shut my door and I say, right, I need my phone off. Hello. Oh, I'm spending time with God. Flick, flick, flick. Where's my mobile? Is there a message? And you know how, you know, we're a culture where we can't even sit down with a meal for one another, with one another, and not look at our phones. And we think we can do that with God and get the best out of him, his word. We can't. So we have to shut off the phones, shut out the voices of other people, take the music off. Wean yourself off sound and come in and hear his voice through his word. His word is his voice to you. You read his word, not just your little ditties from your Every Day with Jesus. Get into the word. Read the gospels. Read them through. Don't just, bosh, that's enough. Spend time allowing the word to be ingested, taken in, and transforming every part of you. And I when I went in this week, I said, Lord, you know I need you. You know everything before I even pray. But before I do anything, I'm going to forgive, because I know if I don't forgive, I haven't got an open heaven over me, and I'm not going to be able to receive. Just basic stuff, guys. Forgive those who persecute you, who hurt you. Forgive those who reject you, who speak against you. Forgive those who don't do what you thought they were going to do for you. Just forgive them. And I said, Lord, You're my healer. You're my restorer. I need my bounce back. I just in one day lost my bounce because of what happened. And in, I think, half an hour, I got my bounce back. Because I ate the word. I got my bounce back. I was like, whoop. And actually, he gave me this scripture, which is why he told me to preach it to you, because it's life to me. He said, eat what is good. Don't eat the words that they said. Don't take them in. They're not the truth. What people say about you, if it doesn't agree with the word of God. Now, sometimes, you know, people can say things about you because you did the wrong thing. That isn't a bad thing, as long as you say sorry. And put the bad things right, because sin has to be confessed. So clear the decks if you've been wrong. You know, ask forgiveness. Say sorry to whoever has hurt you, or say sorry to somebody that you've hurt. But actually, listen. This means submit yourself to the divine will. Submit yourself to the word of God. And to the blessing of his word. You know, in his word is contained a blessing. In his word is a promise for you. Surrender to the promises. Wow, surrender to the blessing. Just let that water flood over you, the water of his word. Let it wash you. Let it revive you. And eat his word so that it becomes so much a part of you that it's transforming you. And making your soul live. And it's not about emotions. It's about just doing the word in faith. It's not about feeling different always when I leave. But it's about saying, Lord, your word has power to change me, whether I feel like it or not. But often, more often than not, I leave with a bounce. Not with a, I've prayed. And you know, it says your soul will be satisfied. You know, recently Pastor Andrew and David put a meal on for us. And you know, when they do a meal, they do it good. They take time. They take a lot of time preparing it. And they put a lot of effort into preparing this meal for us to eat. And then when we arrive, you know, the house is just beautiful, the garden, yeah, everything is sorted so that we can come in. And they just want to make it a nice experience for us. And sometimes I think we need to think like that about the Lord. He's prepared good things for us. A table he has prepared. He's cleaned your house. That's you. Removed your sin. He's done the work. Everything is ready. And, you know, it's like, the welcome is there. Come on in. I've got good things prepared for you. And that attitude, rather than, sometimes he needs to correct us. It's true. Because love corrects. It doesn't leave you to your own devices, which will end up in a ditch. Because he loves you, he will correct you, but he doesn't condemn you. He never condemns you. There is no condemnation. There's conviction of sin, but there's no, I'm no good, I'm rubbish, I just wish I could. Ugh. That's not from God. I hope you're receiving from me today this, the word of the Lord, more importantly. His word, listen to him. Stop thinking about things and just come to him and say, Lord, I need to hear your voice. Come to me and your soul will live. And then scripture goes on to say, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. Listen. And then he says, I'm going to make covenant with you. Now, if you're a believer and you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are effectively in Christ. And Christ is in you. God has made covenant with you through Jesus. Now, next week, we've already prayed for Samantha and Ben. They are going to make covenant next Saturday. They're going to take vows, make promises in the presence of God. And the motivation for their covenant is love. Because they love each other. They want to live life together. But it's the love that they're going to talk about. They're not just going to stand there and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But then I love you, and then I love you some more. Oh, I feel love. They're not going to do that. They're going to make vows and promises. Because vows and promises are, I will keep my word. And God says, I'm going to make a covenant with you because I am going to bind myself to you with an unbreakable commitment to you. And you're going to have a commitment to me. Two-way, because covenant is two people, two parties. And that commitment is going to work out through your life. And I promise I will never leave you. Or forsake you. And I was thinking about this, I'll make a covenant with you. And I just thought, you know, it's been God's choice for my life to remain single for the Lord. And I'm happy I've got bounce about my call. I believe God both calls people to singleness and calls them to marriage. And both are a gift, scripturally speaking. So we're all gifts. We're all being gifted with our call. But because I've never married a person, this week I just, as I was reading through this, I had this glimpse of me, like Sam, you know, when Samantha, the bride, comes in, Ben's already there, standing there, and I just thought, that's the Lord, he's already chosen me. Isn't that brilliant? He chose me. Even before the foundation of the earth, God chose you. In love, Ephesians chapter 1 says. He looked at you before you became a Christian and says, I love them. And I've chosen them. And I've predestined them to be mine. And I just thought of myself walking down the aisle, standing there going, look who I married. The Lord God Almighty. Look who you are in covenant with. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The one who loves you with a commitment that goes beyond your performance. That says it's not down to what you do, it's down to what I've done. It's down to my blood shed for you on the cross. My commitment has been to the death. And I love you with an everlasting love. And I draw you with loving kindness. And I have paid the price for you to live in health and prosperity all the days of your life. You have a covenant partner who can do more than any man or woman. And it's not that marriage is ordained by God. I am not speaking like that, but I know that your first covenant is with the Lord. But this love that these two will speak of and declare, I promise to be with you in all circumstances through your life. I promise to love you, to honor you. I promise to be there. All these promises are vows made that are beyond just your emotions. And what God Almighty says, I've made a covenant with you. You need to understand my commitment to you goes way beyond what you're feeling right now. What you're going through right now. But I want to tell you, you call for my help and I will give you my help. If you've lost something, I will make sure you'll find it again. If you've got a weary soul, I will restore it. If your mind has been plagued with negative thoughts sent by the enemy, tormenting spirits, then I have given you my authority. Use my name and command those spirits to leave you, and I will back up what you say, because my love will back you up. And so these are the words of love, my faithful love in Christ. We're joined to him. We're one with him. He has given us his promises, and he says, not one word will return empty. I will fulfill every word that I have spoken. As surely as I am the Lord, and I have shed my blood, I will show you that I am faithful to my word. I will never revoke a promise. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Which is why, unless you read your Bible and you allow those words to go down deep, you won't really know deep down what God has got in store for you. And that's why we've got to be listening to his word more than our own souls. Because our own soul can be negative, can be influenced by other things. But when the word of God influences your thinking, changes the way you think, then you will have a healthy soul. No matter what happens to you in your life, there'll be good days, there'll be bad days, won't there? Let's get real. There'll be days you'll have to face that you never wanted to face. But I am here to tell you that God's covenant love, he will never remove. His love for you is unshakable. Glory to God in the highest. You have a covenant partner who's won every victory, who can change everything through his word. His faithful love never leaves you, will never forsake you. It never changes or reduces. Aren't you glad God's love isn't a reducing love? It's a constant, unfailing. It's a love that makes you strong. His word makes you strong. You go in weak and you come out strong because you're hearing the word of the Lord. And God wants us to live out of strength in our souls. Not this weakness that goes on and, well, it's only little old me. God is with you. You're married to the Lord. It should make a little difference. If I married a millionaire in the natural, it might make a bit of difference to me. Providing he wanted to share, just as the vows say, all that I have, I give you. Of course, that's the Lord, all that I am. Oh, beloved, I pray that you will prosper in this. That God says, all that I am, I give to you. All that I have, I give. My body, I give. Now give me yours. All that you have, give to me. This is how partnership works. All that you are, give. And together, we will change the world. But we'll do it with a healed life. And a constant dimension of healing and restoration. Because we are eating and listening to his word, which is a good word. And it makes us glad. How are we doing? Can I just finish with Joshua just quickly? Because Joshua needed a little bit of soul transformation. Love the book of Joshua because Joshua is all about taking land and territory, and that's what we're all about. We're not here just to have a healed soul. Hello. Not just here to get healed. We're here to see the world saved and come to Christ. And so there's territory to take. And it says in Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. I always think that's really funny because Joshua already knew. you know, you do know if somebody you've served for 40 years has gone on to be with the Lord, don't you? And the Lord announces, Moses, my servant, is dead. But he's obviously making the point that actually there's an end of one leadership coming into the next. He's saying this is the end of Moses leading you. Now we're into a new season. And he says, now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the river, the Jordan River, and into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Give you everywhere you place your foot, as I promised Moses. Now, what's interesting is Joshua is taking on the promises that were given to Moses, just as we in Christ take on the promises given to Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, all of them. Because all the promises are. So this is our promise. I don't know, you're not that excited, are you? That's amazing. That as I gave it to Moses, this is now becomes yours because they are transferable in Christ. They all come into your account. Bank transfer. In the bank. There it is. So, your territory, he tells them where the territory is. He tells them actually where his call is going to be worked out. And verse 5, he says, this is a promise. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you'll lead these people into inherit the land which I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong, very courageous, and be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book. Now, this is a slightly more added to version than Joshua had, because it's got the whole word of God in it. This is the word of God. Do not let this book, the Bible, depart. Come on, church. Don't let this book leave you. It says, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate, think about, speak it, eat it, declare it, ingest it, take it in. Meditate on this day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it, because our thinking as we receive the word, it changes our soul, it changes our decision making so that we have the right choices in life. The word is the only means by which you get the right choices. If you don't hear the word, you won't know what to choose. So the word of God makes you make the right decisions. And then it says, and you will be prosperous and successful. So, in fact, the other translation says, you will make your way prosperous. Now, Joshua was called to take the land. He had an amazing call on his life. But I can imagine, because Moses, who he had served for 40 years now, I think this is interesting about leadership, he'd served the leadership for 40 years. So in other words, he'd proven himself. But he'd also proven that he was a man of faith, because he said, we're well able to overcome first time round. We can go in and take the land. But he had to spend 40 years before he came back to take the land. Faith people will always take the land, even if there's a slight delay. We're going in. People of faith go in and take it. So Joshua, faithful man of faith, is thinking, now what do I do? Moses is gone. All that I've relied on it all my life, suddenly there's a change. And you can imagine his soul is going through quite some emotional and mental turmoil. A bit like a washing machine. Now what? What are we going to do? Nobody knows what to do. And God speaks. This is how God will change your soul and change your destiny. He speaks. And one of the things he says to Joshua is, be strong and courageous. And do you know what? It worked. Because this turmoil and this man who was feeling intimidated by the call and what he had to do in his life, which we all do at certain times in our lives, intimidated by what we're about to face. God says, be strong and very courageous. And do you know what? Joshua says, fair enough then. He goes out and says, get ready, nation. In 3 days, we're going in. You could say that strong and courageous language. It changed him as a person. And I want to tell you, if you're weak, feeble, a dithering person, a person who can't make decisions, the word of God can change you. If you're angry, it can make you full of grace. The word of God can change you. If you're a slightly down kind of person, it can make you a slightly up kind of person. It can change you. It can put courage in to go for things. Because you hear God say to you, be strong and very courageous. And then, Joshua, if you're going to be prosperous in your life, you need to know what to do. And that is meditate on my word day and night. Don't let this book. So, you know how to heal your soul. Everybody in this room, it's in your hands. There's no point in me actually praying that you'll have a healed soul, but you know what to do. And if you're feeling like you need time with the Lord to restore your soul, just come into the good promises of God. Read the word, and the word will restore you. Get your bounce back. Come on, church. Let's get our joy back, and let's live in emotional, mental, and volitional choice, your decision making, your will. Let there be health in every part of your life. And if you change, your relationships will change and your ministry will change. I can at no point when I read through the Gospels see Jesus arriving into a situation. For example, the widow who'd lost her son going, oh, it's too much. This is way too much for me. And I believe God wants to fortify your soul to say, nothing's too difficult. But you need a change of mindset and a change of soul so that you come in and say, no problem with Jesus and me. I've got a covenant partner. And do you know who he is? The Lord God Almighty. We're married. We're one in heart and mind. Come on, let's go, Jesus. Let's stand.